Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I am a senior pastor here of Island Community Church, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Praise God. I'm so grateful you've taken 30 minutes of your day here today on this Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear now the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and many of you who listen in on the radio came and visited this week. What a pleasure it is for me to meet you guys who listen in on the radio. And if you are listening in on the radio, and if you are looking for a new church for whatever reasons that you might hold dear or are personal to you, I invite you to come out to Island. The music is kind of mellow. We do a lot of hymns, sort of country style. Our only instruments, acoustic guitar, and we welcome you. We welcome you to come by, visit, and worship God here at Island in one of our services. Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday at evening at 6, that'll be tomorrow night, we are in the book of Acts. We have, what an important study we have coming up tomorrow night at 6. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls come to Christ. They were cut to the heart and asked Peter, all right, I'm convicted. Now what do I do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. That's what we're looking at. We are having a detailed study here for most of the entire hour looking at baptism. Answering the question, does baptism save you? Like it appears to be from what Peter said. And that appears to contradict other places in the Bible. So what gives? That's where we're going to be at tomorrow night. If you can't join us, if we're too far away, or for whatever reasons, I encourage you to watch on the Facebook page. That'll be live at 6 p.m. Island Community Church Facebook page. Why don't you join us if you can't make it? We'd love to see you. Here now, back to our sermon from Sunday, and that is the humbled and exalted Christ. Probably the greatest teaching in all the Bible on the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So that's where we're at here today. As a matter of fact, let me let this opening play Tuesday and Wednesday. If you are tuned in on Wednesday, why don't you come by the church here tonight, Wednesday at 6? If you listen in on Tuesday, we'll wrap up this sermon tomorrow. But we'd love to see you Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Easter morning, Resurrection morning. My sermon is entitled, I Am the Resurrection, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. So you're invited to any one of our services. Let's get into the Word of God now. We are in Philippians, wrapping up chapter 1, and then Philippians chapter 2. Have a blessed day, everyone. God bless.
Not much to say, really. It's hard to count it all joy, but how many of us have learned that has anyone here ever suffered before? Praise God. All right, let's move on to chapter 2. The heading in my Bible, unity through humility. Now, Bob Bledsoe came into my office the other day and suggested that I make a sign with the following verse on it and hang it in the food pantry. Better yet, let's make the sign with these verses on it and hang it in the whole church, not just the food pantry, lest we forget. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if there's any consolation, the word means encouragement, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affections and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What a great plea for unity this is, both for the Philippians and for us as well. He's saying, in gratitude of all these things that have happened to us and that belong to us, and in gratitude of all that Jesus has done for us, love on each other. Forget the petty differences that you have against others. Fulfill my joy and love on each other. Notice all the ones here, like-minded. Then he says, having the same love. Then he says, one accord. The word simsuko, you know, like symphony, means one sound, right? Symphony orchestra. Here you've got simsukos, or we could say simpsycho. One soul. One soul. Be joined together in soul or sentiment or unanimous. And then he says one mind. That is to have the same mindset. Involves the will. As compared to the opposite of these godly traits and Christian instruction, verse 3. Now, this is the verse that Bob mentioned to me, and I love it. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, there's the pattern for how to maintain a godly, successful church. Strife, the first word. It means to work for hire. It means self-interest, like me, myself, and I. Also, this Greek word for strife is the word for mercenary. A mercenary. And vainglory. Vain means worthless. Glory means praise. Worthless, worthless praise. That is any praise that goes to you instead of to him. Paul's saying, instead of being worried about your stuff and seeking your own praise, you ought to be concerned about your brother's stuff or things and God's praise, right? Like their food or clothing or well-being. Now, it was fresh in their mind, no doubt, that all the believers in the Jerusalem had sold everything they had just not that long ago and gave it all away. Once you do that, it's nice to have someone else concerned about your stuff or lack thereof. Have you ever gone into an extended period of time without stuff? Who knew the word stuff was in the Bible? Now, praise God, this church is pretty good at this. That's why we have a benevolence fund here, earmarked to help look after the stuff or lack thereof of others. Now, building on that and being like-minded, Paul's going to use Jesus as the greatest example ever of humbling yourself and caring about other people more than yourself. Verse 5. And without a doubt, the greatest teaching about Jesus ever in the Bible, starting in verse 5. Under the heading, the humbled and exalted Christ. Of course, in that order, right? Like you and me. He who humbles himself will be right, exalted. That's the order. Got to humble yourself first, starting with the master. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's the imperative command. Let this mind, or have the same mind that Jesus had. Here, listen again to what he says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So maybe you say, That's impossible. I'm not Jesus. How could I have his mind? Well, I beg to differ. Listen to what the word of God says. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," he says. Not only is it impossible, but you have got it. And why not? He lives on the inside of you. You've got the mind of Christ, Paul says. According to the word of God, the man who's been to the third heaven and back has informed us that you possess the mind of Christ. Talk about being of sound mind and body. Well, sound mind at least. So, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, verse 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, or did not consider it robbery, to be equal with God. All right, here's our Greek lesson for the day. The word translated being. It's what we call a present active participle. Present meaning it's a now word, not a word that it's past or past tense. It's a now word for today. And it's active, meaning not passive. He's performing the word, not receiving the action. And it's a participle. A participle in English is a word ending in ing, like eating, sleeping, drinking, walking. In my Bible, I've translated this as existing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing, notice it doesn't say existed, or he will exist someday in the future. He's existing in the form of God. Key text, Jesus Christ has always existed as God. Let me reword that even better yet. Jesus Christ is always existing as God. Even before he took a body, he is, not was, is God. John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word." Now remember, the Word was a name for Jesus that John gave him. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus, the Son of God, again, is always existing as God. There's never been a minute when he hasn't been God. He's always been God. He is existing as much as eating or drinking or walking or exercising. Jesus is existing as God. Chew on that, Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure they just took that one out of the Bible too, like they do the other ones they don't agree with. Next up, we read that the Son of God is equal to God. It says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Equal is the Greek word isos, where the word equilateral triangle is based on this word. Robbery is the same Greek word where we get rapture from. To steal away or to snatch away. Meaning Jesus stole no glory whatsoever from the person of God by his existing as God. This does not make God any less or change who he is or steal his glory in any way, he is saying. So the Lord Jesus is equal with God because he is God. He's God the Son. Like three sides on an equilateral triangle. Or water, steam, and ice. Three forms of the same nature. I read yesterday that St. Patrick used the shamrock in order to teach the Trinity. St. Patrick also said that each leaf represented faith, hope, and love. I like that. Jesus Christ is equal with God. And look now at what he did. Remember, the overall theme here is that Jesus humbled himself, Like Paul asked the Philippians and you to humble yourself, to consider others as better than yourself. This is what stops strife in the church, when you consider other people better than yourself, when you want what your neighbor wants, not what you want, not to be after vainglory, that is praise directed at you, or your own stuff like a mercenary, but someone else's stuff. And of course, Jesus is his ultimate example. Look at what he did here in this humbling. Verse 7, it said, he made himself of no reputation, like that figure of speech. Oh, you could ruin a man or a woman's reputation, right? Well, it starts here. Jesus emptied himself of his. This is one of the greatest translations in the King James Version. I love that. He made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So when Jesus came down to earth, he emptied himself of his reputation, took the form of a slave or a bondservant, that is the lowest of low, for God to come down here and wash people's feet in order to relate to each and every one of us. Jesus came here to serve you, serve these apostles and disciples, but you as well, and to be able to relate to you. And a slave is an indentured servant to someone. Jesus came as an indentured servant to you and to all of us. Small, great, rich, and poor, God took a body, was born in a manger, in a bundle of hay. Imagine that Jesus Christ existing in the form of God and now making himself of absolutely no reputation. Then verse 8, it says, and being found in appearance, there he is. He's over there with skin on. We see him now. This man called Jesus, being found in appearance. We've spotted him now. He's still existing as God, but he's being found in appearance as a man. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the God-man, still existing as God on the inside, who raises the dead, who calms the stormy seas, who speaks the words, peace, be still. Who speaks the words, little girl, I say to you, arise. Who speaks the words, let no fruit ever grow on you ever again. Who speaks the words, Lazarus, come forth. This same Jesus is now found in appearance as a man, all the while still existing as God. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Obedient to whom? Well, God had a camp meeting all by himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what came out of that council was that the Son had to die. And the Lord Jesus was obedient even to the point of death, and that death, the death of the cross. Now, as a result of his obedience, verse 9, and notice it starts with the word therefore. You see, that is due to his obedience. Now write this down. Take this with you today. Therefore always follows obedience. In your life too. Therefore, the word therefore, therefore in your life, therefore always follows obedience. Same as Abraham and all of us. Same as Jesus, starting with Jesus. It says therefore, due to his obedience, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, that would be Yeshua, the name, Jesus, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is how and why the Son is exalted. He died for you and for me. And he learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And I guess you and I learn the same thing. We learn obedience as well by the things which we suffer. And that kind of makes you either want to shout or it makes you want to cry. I leave you with these points here today. Don't get used to leaving here at 11:30 either. Four things. Number one, to you it's been granted both to believe and to suffer. Ultimately meaning treated badly because of the noble name of Jesus Christ. Ultimately is what that means. Not that bad things happen to you or happen in your family, but when you're treated bad because you are known by the noble name of Christian, ultimately is what that means. So, to you it's been granted that as God's given you as a gift the ability to believe in the faith that's deposited on the inside of you and to suffer. You get to share in his sufferings. Number two, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Again, vainglory means worthless praise, something that brings you praise instead of him, like a mercenary. Number three, be more concerned with someone else's stuff or lack thereof than your own. Number four, Jesus Christ has always existed as God, or again, better yet, Jesus Christ is always existing as God. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Expect there to be hypocrites in the church. The devil is at work, and every church has them. And it's not our job to go through in Christendom and try to separate the wheat from the tares. Never get into a crusade against somebody else's religion. That's not your business. Your business is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, surely you should warn people of false doctrine. The Bible tells us that, but don't you go around rooting out tares. You will make some horrible mistakes. Don't get discouraged because of hypocrites in the church. It doesn't prove the gospel is false, not at all. A counterfeit is the greatest compliment that anything that is real could have. Why do people counterfeit $100 bills? Because evidently a $100 bill is worth something. They don't counterfeit gum wrappers. You see, the counterfeit is a testimony to the worthwhileness, the validity of the real. And so what can you expect from the time that the gospel began to the end of the age? Don't expect everybody to accept the gospel. They're not going to. That doesn't mean the gospel has failed.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
another heartbreak day. Feels like you're miles away. Don't even need no shade when your sun don't shine, shine. Too many passing dreams roll by like limousines. It's hard to keep believing when it pass you by and by. It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking, until the morning comes. Move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. And lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. Echoing inside your head are the words that your sweet mama said. Shoot for the moon, my dear, so you took aim out of this atmosphere. Between high stakes and pump fakes, vibrate.
I can hold your hand, but I can't turn your eyes to freedom. He'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on. These are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. So hold on, hold on. The Lord ain't finished yet. Hold on, hold on. He'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on. These are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. I know your heart been broke again. I know your prayers ain't been answered yet. But it ain't over yet.
No.
It ain't over yet.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Winning Moments with Pastor Tim Finlayson, pastor of Brevard Worship Center in Malabar, Florida. Pastor Tim has a passion to teach you how to get free and stay free through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So listen with your heart for the next few moments and allow the Word of God to transform you into the winner God has destined for you to become. And now with today's winning moments, here is Pastor Tim.
God created us in His image and after His likeness. He reproduced Himself. He used words, and then He gave us His own authority. He gave us His glory, and He gave us the seed. He did not appoint you to be a manager over this earth. He appointed you to rule and reign. And what Adam lost, folks, when Adam sinned, when he touched that tree, the light was turned off and immediately knew he was naked. He fell so far, ladies and gentlemen, that he even had to bring the animals down another level so they wouldn't rise up and tear him. That's why the earth, even right now, according to Romans chapter 8,